Now, for the thousands in attendance and the millions around the world, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
African Hip Hop Blog Podcast.
Aizi play kai boss African Hip Hop Blog handy.
Yeah. New city. Yeah, new city. Now roll it up, burn it up, let it blow up. Now bring it back like it better when it's close up. I wanna go downtown with the top up. I wanna go downtown on a girl like you. I got a handcuffs, you got a handcuffs. Put your hands up, and we can play that game in the bathtub. Fill the glass up and let it ride like an action. Kitty, kitty, yeah, you know. You bend it over like a ruler. Drop it, we can switch it up, like we study Kama Sutra. Shawty got this in the bill. I come around, baby, you know the deal. I pull the whip and you scrub on my wheel. Scrub on my wheel, scrub on my wheel. Shawty got this in the bill. I come around, baby, you know the deal. I pull the whip and you scrub on my wheel. I do you a favor, yeah. Better recognize it, yeah. This shit is for pleasure. Better recognize it, yeah. I do you a favor, yeah. Better recognize it, yeah. This shit is for pleasure, yeah. Better recognize it, yeah. I do you a favor,
yeah. One time.
This shit is for pleasure. Shawty got this from the bill. Now roll it up, burn it up, let it blow up.
Let it blow up, are you down for the high? Hennessy dry, and you down for the vibe? Fly shit, better recognize it. T-Dye, hit you with that lightning. Call me up, I'm coming through swerving. You know we come together like curtains. You know I come around for one purpose. Yeah, swerving, swerving. Tight stay burning, burning. Tight stay burning. Always on the road for you, tight stay burning. Tight stay burning, always on the road for your tight stay burning. You know I stay working as long as it's worth it. I tell another man to you this perfect. Better recognize.
I do you a favor. Better recognize it. This shit is for pleasure. Better recognize it. You know you gotta check the boy. I'm finna do this now, I just pull a swerving in a toy. You know we do Da Vinci later. I think about the moments we can switch up in the elevator. Eating dinners at Trump's local, I take you there. They got variety, I'm talking about the buffet. I treat you like it's a new day, like Michael Bublé. Keep it 100 like my wallet do. Check it, check it, we been on some other shit. I know you loving this. A lot of niggas you ain't fucking with, I'm noticing. But I don't wanna be the type to let you in, I'm closing in. I always make it kinda hard to find the opening. Where you going? I'm hoping a couple floors up. We can have a little fun and leave the door shut. We don't gotta be thinking of a direction. We keep the business and pleasure. Tell you my baby, just recognize.
You better recognize. T-da.
Welcome back to the African Hip Hop Blog. It's your boy Phil Chard. Okay, Liv Lost the Big Boss, baby. And I'm pretty sure you know the rest by now. Beaming to you live from an undisclosed location in the heart of the motherland that is Africa. Before I crossed over to me, you guys were hearing the Swerve remix, Ricky Tyler featuring Tseho. Woo! What a joint. What a song. I love the original. You guys know this. I was trying to push it as hard as I could. And shout out to Ricky Tyler for getting a remix done and getting such a dope remix done at that. This song is so smooth. Damn near perfect. I really hope that this gives it the push it deserves, because this song is flames and it needs a video. Ricky Tyler, if you listen to this, give us a damn video, boy. We ain't playing around here. I cool. Yeah, I'm hyped up. We've got a good episode lined up this week. First of all, let me apologize for being a few days late. There's some content I was waiting for. Things kind of got tied up. You know, we're an independent operation, guys. You know, so sometimes things tend to fall off track, but we managed to get right back on top of things, and we've got an incredible show. Thanks to the delay, I can now include this first segment here. Julius Malema just gave a press conference for the ages. I don't know how we veered into the hip-hop sphere, but Mr. Malema was giving a press conference about the EFF electoral results. For those that don't know, South Africa recently had its local elections. The EFF did well according to their standards, and they were giving a press conference to that effect. And then during this conference, Mr. Malema just veered sharp left. Now, he just took a sharp left and began spilling the tea on what's good, of what we might have suspected might have been going on at Mbolanisi, but no one really knew. I'd spoken to a few people. They had insinuated or alleged similar stories, but you know, we're a reputable institution. We're not going to post rumors and hearsay. So Mr. Malema took it upon himself to basically share what he believes is the truth. At this point in time, Ricky Rick has tweeted and said it's all lies. DJ Bongs has tweeted and said it's lies, and they shall be suing. So it's going to be very, 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 very interesting. So without further ado, let's cross over and hear what Mr. Malema has to say about the situation at Mbolanisi.
How is the play, guy, boss, African hip-hop blog, handy?
The reality of the situation is that this money thing is playing a big role in this election. Yo, people have spent 1 billion here doing a debt. Journalist, artist rather,
declined.
Paid to do debbing. 1 million. Debbing has fallen now. Debbing has fallen. Asinavalo. Nonsense. Everywhere they are suffering from valo now.
Yeah.
Debbing, 1 billion for debbing. Pukutu. There's not produced any results. Why? Because you used rappers with unconscious rappers who are in it for money. They are not. They don't have commitment. They can't be compared to Yuma Sikila and Miriam Makeb. They can't. They are in it for money. They, when the EFF fights with them, they call the EFF on the side. Guys, there's too much money here. You can't refuse us to take this money. There's just too much money. Now, there is the treasurer of the youth league, Reggie. What is Reggie's name? Reggie, the TG of the youth league. He established a company called Mabala. Nice. Mabala Noise for music. Then they take all the celebrities. You know, Reggie gave each artist he registered under Mabala not less than 5 million each. Where does Reggie get the money from? No journalist has ever asked that treasurer of the youth league. He brought Chris Brown in Durban during Durban July, paid Chris Brown 10 million. And he never made back that 10 million. Why? Because they were launching that Mbolanisi Noise so that Mbolanisi can go and capture the celebrities in the name of them being registered under a progressive company called Mbolanisi. Then they take the Mbolanisi celebrities into the ANC events. Not a single artist of Mbolanisi, you must go and investigate Mbolanisi. Not as an all artists that are registered by Mbolanisi, from Ricky Rick, Major League, all of them. Not a single artist registered under Mbolanisi received less than 5 million. If they think I'm talking nonsense, they must sue me. Then the suing process will give them an opportunity to produce how much they paid those artists. That's why I challenge them here. So Mbolanisi is owned by the treasurer of the youth league. The treasure of the youth league goes under the pretext of registering artists of this company. Then they take that company artist into the ANC events. Where does Reggie make money? Reggie makes money from water and sanitation because he's got some special kind of a relationship with Nomvula Mkonyane. Nomvula likes them young. Now, that's how Reggie became a favorite of Nomvula Mkonyane and then received water tenders, sanitation tenders as a favorite. Now they're taking the water money through Mabala Noise as if it's music. They take money through Reggie. It's a scheme. It's racketeering. It's money laundering. Reggie goes bid for water and sanitation. Then they give Reggie money for water and sanitation. He takes the money. He puts it in the Mabala Noise. Then the Mabala Noise goes and pay the artist to go and do the dubbing for the ANC. 5 million each. Now, when I say Nomvula likes them young, somebody say, hey, they are young, all those people who are working there next to Nomvula. Oh, Nomvula. It's young boys, including Jimmy Tau. We can give you a long list of young boys who are being empowered by Nomvula. Empowered how differently, I don't know.
How is play guy boss African hip hop blog handy?
Ha ha! You heard what I heard, right? Yeah, it's lit. That being said, I actually did a write up on this very topic, so be sure to head on over to the AfricanHHB.com to hear my point of view regarding this issue and what it means with artists. And that's the saddening thing for me, is the artists are the ones that are going to suffer. Artists like Nasty and Gigi, their albums were due. Their albums were almost done. Where does this put them? Now they're in limbo. Hopefully it doesn't affect them too bad, because at the end of the day, these are just innocent artists trying to get paid for their work, and they deserve to get paid for their work, you know what I mean? And I was really happy that someone was willing to pay them, but hey, man, it's a mess right now, man. It's a mess. It's a damn mess. Anyway, moving on to slightly lighter issues. I also got hold of a Zimbabwean rapper named Takura. Takura used to be part of a pop group called Soul Africa, and recently they decided to go solo. Takura just dropped his 5-track EP Stripped. He had dropped his video for Zino Irema last month, which is quite impressive. He was supposed to have dropped his video for Mao Obama today, but as of now it still hasn't dropped, so I need to find out from him what's going on. But he's impressed me, man. He's literally come out of the come nowhere and taken over the Zim hip hop sphere. And I was actually joking about this on Twitter, but I actually believe it to be true that in 6 months the biggest Zim hip hop rapper or Zim hip hop act is going to be a pop star, and that's going to be Takura. The way he's marketing himself, the way he's pushing his music, the way he's pushing his content, this guy knows what he's doing, and he's going to prove that Zim rappers have been literally just playing with their time and not taking this their craft seriously. And now someone who's really dedicated to doing this shows them how to do it right. They're going to be caught with their pants down, and he's going to steal their lunch. So let's cross over right now to my interview with Takura. Okay.
How is play guy boss African hip hop blog handy?
It's your boy Phil from the African hip hop blog. We've got a young man from Zimbabwe doing a lot of big things in the hip hop space. He's literally come out from nowhere and taken over the scene in a surprising fashion. None other than Takura. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. I just got done listening with your 5-track EP Stripped. Yeah, it's quite impressive.
Thank you.
Well, first things first, let's get it out of the bag. How does one transition from basically doing African pop music to now doing trap hip hop?
I don't know what to say about that one. I've always skipped genres ever since I started my career, because I used to do soul, and then I moved to Afro pop, and then hip hop. You know, but if you listen, I haven't changed much. You know, okay. It's pretty much the same style. Probably sometimes different beats, but yeah.
Okay. One thing that I've noticed off the bat is how you're approaching your career and your music. For a very, very long time, Zimbabwean rappers especially have been complaining about how they don't have access to distribution channels, how they don't have the ability to make quality visuals, how they don't have ability to make quality music and distribute it. But in a month, you've thrown all those theories out of the window. What are you doing differently that other artists aren't?
Like I always tell people, most of my music is relatable. I try to write stuff that people can relate to. Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's my best friends, you know, going through stuff. And I've realized that we all go through so much, maybe just different stories, you know. Like the love I've been getting from a lot of people saying negative energy, when I listen to it, I think about what I went through at this point or at that point. So I think firstly, it's that people can relate to the music, and then also visuals. I'm a perfectionist. I don't like to just do things just because I'm going to have video. I'm not going to want to get it. You know, I want to do, like on Zinerema, I won't even lie to you. We struggled to pay it off. Like, you know. But then, to me, it was an investment because I knew it's going to pay off. So, I know a lot of people don't want to invest that much because for me, I tell myself, I only have plan A. So, if I'm doing it, I'm doing it. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, as I speak to you, the Ma Obama videos is going to drop this Friday, correct?
Yes.
What are your plans, or what are you hoping that video will accomplish?
For this one, I want to take over. I want everyone to know who Takura is. I want people to start appreciating my music and know that I'm here to stay. And also, I want people to love it outside Zim, you know. Like when I was doing it, I was talking to one of the guys who's going to be working with us to plug the video at MTV and everywhere else, and he was telling me the requirements and stuff. So we work towards that, so that at least we get airplay. You know, you don't just get played once. One go to not a player, you know. Homeboy saw video in Zimbabwe on rotation. People get to see and know that, oh, there's people in Zim doing music, you know.
Okay, all right. Oh, it's definitely looking promising. So in terms of production on the album, I noticed you worked with one producer.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about him?
COG. COG is the best producer.
Mm-hmm.
He's talented, man. You see, most of the things you hear by EP, it's not like I just get there and I'm like, let's do that. He is like the chemistry we have. Producer and the artist is amazing because I can do something and he says, I'm not feeling it. Let's change it. Why don't you do something like this? And I'm like, okay, why don't you add this? And we complement each other. So to me, that's the best producer, you know. He's a young kid, he's 23, and he's also a sound engineer, he's also an artist. He is amazing.
All right. Well, you're having your album launch party this weekend, but it's been out online for a few days now. What has the response been so far?
The response has been great because after Zinede, my people were just waiting to hear more music, you know. And the whole thing of me moving from Afropop to hip-hop, everyone was just wondering, what is it going to sound like, you know, and stuff. So people are buying it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually shocked. Like, everyone is just buying the music so far, and people are loving it, especially Negative Energy and Mungandi D. So yeah, the response has been great.
Okay, all right. Well, I definitely like the album. We'll probably do a short write-up on it to bundle it with this interview. Is there anything else you'd like the readers of the African Hip Hop Blog to know about you, and where can they find your stuff?
They can, first of all, they can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's all at Takura Life. And they can also subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's Takura Vivo. And they will get updates on everything that's happening on those platforms.
All right. Dope. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Hey. I play play guy boss African hip hop blog handy.
Yes. Shout out to Takura. We do need to work on his media training though, because hey, it sounded like he was about to say, like, hey, you know, Phil, I've got a new EP and I really like the direction it's taking, and it's gonna be good. Yeah. Besides that, he's a good guy. I like the interview. I actually, before that, to his defense, we did an hour-long interview for my other podcast, Two Broke Trimbles. So if you want to check that out, head on over to twobroketrimbles.com to hear the full story of how Takura broke into the industry and why or how he became a hip-hop act. And now, let's switch gears once again. Let's now cross over to my interview with the Ghanaian rapper, Quakes, who was our Feature Friday's winner for last week. This was a very, very insightful interview about what's going on in the Ghanaian hip-hop scene, and also about the trials and tribulations Quakes has had to overcome to get where he is right now.
What's up, Africa? It's your boy Quakes, all the way from Ghana. Anytime you are on the internet, there's no other place to be than on the Africa Hip Hop Blog, the best on the continent.
It's your boy Phil here for Feature Fridays, and I've got a man out from the west of Africa, from Ghana, a raspy voiced individual. He's been making a couple of big waves with a few new releases. Just one last week's Feature Friday by quite a substantial margin, actually. None other than Quakes. How you doing? Is that how you pronounce it? Quakes?
Yeah, that's exactly how to pronounce it.
Yeah. Charlie, I understand. How you doing, man?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. It's amazing. It's good to hear from you. It's good to know that people from other parts of the continent vibe into the music and they like what's going on. So, yeah, it's a great feeling to be talking to you right now.
That's good to hear, man. It's good to hear. So, why don't you give us a brief breakdown? Who is Quakes? When did he start making music? And what is he all about?
Okay, so basically, Quakes is it's one individual who works with a creative agency, one of the biggest youth creative agencies in the country, in Ghana right now. However, I started doing music way back. It's been a while. I think I just had to pause at a point so I can be in school for a while, and I just jumped back into the game. But then Quakes is signed to Gab Music. Gab Music has handled some big artists in the country before, like Trigmatic, award-winning artists, and I'm currently the new act on Gab Music.
Okay.
And yeah, and I have a few singles out recently, and this is the latest one, is what I put out last week, and it's been making waves. Okay. Yeah.
So who else is on Gab's Music besides you?
Currently we are two, myself and another female called Jackie Morris. Okay. She is a very great singer. She's amazing. I think if people could recall Big Brother Africa, I think 2 years ago there was a Ghanaian representative called Casey Moore. Mm-hmm. Casey Moore was also on Gab Music. But then yeah, you know, he had other dreams and stuff to pursue, so.
Okay, wait, so you said there was Casey Moore and Jackie Moore.
Jackie Morris.
Oh, Morris. Okay, I understand. Okay, yeah. Okay. I think the first time I really got introduced to your work was Whisper in Your Ear with One Love.
Yeah.
In terms of the timeline of your music making, what number would you say was that in terms of your releases, or had you been making music for a long time before that?
Okay, so I've been making music for a long time. I have a number of stuff out, but then officially, I think I can this will probably be my fourth release. Prior to Whisper in Your Ear, I had one high life song that I call Ankwando B. After that one came Whisper in Your Ear. Then I released another one 3 months ago called Kwetu Sichi, and this current one called Duto. And the issue with the space between Whisper in Your Ear and Kwetu Sichi was after I released Your Ear, I think 4 hours later I was involved in a car accident. So I was away for a whole year, and Kwetu Sichi was like a comeback tune.
Okay,
so.
How bad was this accident?
I suffered a left humeral fracture, so I was in the hospital for a while. I had to undergo some surgery and stuff to fix the broken bones and all. So yeah, I've been to and fro therapy, and it's been great so far. So
okay. Wow.
Well, we're glad you made it up.
I don't want to ask me for any refreshment.
Yeah. So in terms of videos, what can we expect from you? I'm pretty sure Doto is going to get a video because that's the one you're pushing right now.
Yeah. We have plans of shooting a video very soon. We're actually going to shoot a video for that one and Kwetu Sichi and Whisper in Your Ear, actually. We are pulling strings and doing stuff. Hopefully we might shoot the video in South Africa somewhere in October or September. So yeah, we are putting stuff together so that when we are in South Africa, we can shoot all the videos at once. That, yeah, we can get stuff done.
Well, currently, where are you based?
I'm based in Accra, Ghana.
Okay. Right. And yeah. From your point of view, what's the hip-hop scene like coming up there in Accra?
For the past few weeks, it has shot up drastically, and it's amazing how many people have really got involved in the whole hip-hop thing, because there was a little feud between some of the top artists like Zakody and Manifest and EL. So yeah, it became like the talk of town. They took over the radio waves and TV and everywhere. Everyone was talking about them. So it has actually brought some focus onto the hip-hop scene. Mm-hmm. Because it was one genre that people really weren't paying attention to, because they felt it's foreign, sort of, if I should say. They would rather vibe to something that they can dance to, mm-hmm, than a hip-hop tune. But then I think gradually everyone is just accepting it, and it's amazing. I think it's a good feeling, because knowing that the works that we are putting in wouldn't go to waste is something that we can be thankful for.
Okay. No, well, that's actually surprising to hear, because from the few guys I've spoken to, they've said it's not as big as it could be, but it's definitely a growing in popularity. I think I know Sako Dia sold out the national stadium, the stadium twice for his album launch. But
it's
interesting to get your point of view. Okay, and in terms of your career, you've got these singles lined up. Are you planning on releasing an EP, a mixtape, or an album?
Yeah, I'm actually planning on releasing an EP, which will be titled Kwetu Sichi, just like the song I released before Duto. Hopefully it will have about between 10 to 12 or 14 songs, because I have a lot of songs lined up, but then, you know, I just needed to drop the singles to get people informed of the fact that I have something really awesome for them. You know, I chose the strategy I used because I needed people to understand my versatility. Because so the first single that I put out was a high life song. The next one was, you know, a slow tempo club tune. Then I put out the hip hop song. So you know, I decided to do all this so that people can actually know that the package that I'm bringing out there isn't just like the ordinary thing that they've been listening to all the time. It has a twist to it. And another thing that I do with my music, I think you don't understand the Ghanaian language, so you might probably not get some of the languages, but I fuse four different Ghanaian languages into my song in addition to the English that I do. So yeah, I try as much as possible to diversify the things that I do so that every Ghanaian out there can understand something in what I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it sounds very, very promising, man. And I'm definitely feeling the stuff. Well, the stuff I understand, but even like the melody, the delivery, you've got a very distinct voice, which is also pretty dope. So we look out for that stuff, man. If there's anything else you'd want to make sure that the listeners and the readers of the blog know about you, let us know now. And then also, where can they find you on social media?
Okay. I have my SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/QuakesLife. They can get on there. I have songs on there that they can listen to. They can find me on Facebook. Just search for Quakes and I'll pop up. They can like my stuff and they'll hear some freestyles and other things that I haven't put out there yet officially. On Twitter, they can find me QuakesLife, @QuakesLife. Instagram, Quakes or Quakes_music. That one is solely for music stuff. So yeah, and they should watch out for something really awesome, because we have some really great stuff coming up, and this is just a tip of the iceberg. If they've listened to these few songs and they can vibe to, they should expect more. Yeah, and they should expect some new stuff from myself and Edem. I'm sure some people out there in Africa know Edem. He's one of the best rappers out here. We have some stuff together.
Okay.
Yeah. That'll be out soon.
You just reminded me. So besides Edem, who else are you planning or have already worked with that we should be looking out for?
Okay. I have done stuff with J-Town. I have done stuff with One Love Kobolo, as you know already. I have done stuff with Kese, one of the great singers out here. He was on Project Fame some time back. I have done stuff with Stoneboy. I have actually worked with a number of people. So, and there are other ones that are in the pipeline that we are still in discussion that I wouldn't want to put out there yet until it's sealed. Then yeah, I can make it clear. But then I've worked with a number of top guns, and people should watch out for great stuff, the EP, and after that the album, possibly pretty soon.
Alright, man, that's dope. Well, we definitely look forward to that new stuff, and once again, congratulations for winning Feature Fridays.
Thank you.
No, much appreciated. Without you guys, we really wouldn't have anything to blog about, so you make it worthwhile.
Yeah, man.
Alright, man, so thank you so much.
Shout out to your blog, because yeah, you held me down all the way in Zimbabwe, and I really appreciate it, man. The first time I saw my stuff on your blog, I was amazed. I was excited. I was like, oh wow, all the way in Zimbabwe to listen to the stuff. That's great. I'm really appreciative.
Nah, man, that's what it's
thumbs
about.
Up.
Well, the whole mandate of the website is to expand far beyond just Zim. We're actually based in a few other countries now, so we're definitely going to be coming to the West. The plan is by next year, so we might even be able to link up in person then.
Okay, that'd be great.
I used to play guy, boss African hip hop blog Handy.
Yes. That was my interview with Quakes. Shout out to him for all the way from Ghana. And finally, our last interview for this week is none other than an interview with a guy that has caught my attention. I like what he's doing. I think he's got a lot of potential out there in East Africa. None other than Kagwe Mungai. I got hold of him for a pretty long conversation about his career, him starting in music, his travels,
and whether or not he makes hip hop. So yes, without further ado, let's cross over to my interview with Kagwe Mungai.
How is the play guy boss African Hip Hop Blog Handy?
Welcome back to the African Hip Hop Blog Podcast. It's your boy Phil Chard, and I've got a Kenyan artist. But he's been doing his thing for quite some time. I recently came across his work and I was very, very impressed. If you recall, about 3 weeks ago, I think on the podcast, we played a song, Doctor. It's none other than Kagwe Mungai, artist, producer, brand ambassador. Is it a model as well? Are you also a model? Or?
Yeah, some people say that. Yeah,
there's a lot going
some
on.
Some people say that. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, how you doing, sir? How you doing?
I'm good. Happy to be here, man.
It's a pleasure having you, man. So yeah, basically, for those who are unfamiliar with your brand and your music, why don't you give us a quick rundown of who Kagwe is as an artist?
All right. So, been in the Kenyan music game for about 3.5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been from singing to rapping to producing to acting to, you know, just generally the entertainment game guy. That's been my hustle for the last 4 years. And most recently I got a record deal with Taurus Music.
Oh, okay.
So things are starting to pick up on that end, and you know, like it's great to see that West African label, you know, is recognizing East African music in that kind of light. So it means that all this stuff that I've been doing over this time is working, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I have a mixtape called It Only Gets Better, which I dropped in 2012. That was my first body of work. And since then, I've just been releasing a couple of singles, been producing a bunch of different artists from around the continent.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as, you know, really pushing my own content.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is your introduction to music like? When did you first fall in love with music?
Oh, geez. I don't know. You know, my mom tells me that I sang myself to sleep as a baby. So I guess that's when it started. But, you know, I remember I was like 13 and my brother came home with this, you know, this tape recorder type of thing that you could make beats on. And he was just like, you know, because we were all, you know, like every 13-year-old boy in our school at the time just wanted to be a rapper. Mm-hmm. So that was what everyone was doing, you know, it was around the time of, what was it, 8 Mile? So like everyone was freestyling, you know, everyone was trying to battle rap each other.
Okay.
So like I had to have beats though, you know, everyone was ready with their beats. Mm-hmm. So, because now I found a way, I just figured it out, you know, faster than my brother did. And I started making beats for like all of these hip hop battles, as well as like participating in them as an MC too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I went on to study music in high school, and then I studied music at university, and then you know here we are.
Oh, okay. So what did you get your degree in?
So my degree is in music. It's a dual honors degree. So. Bachelor of Arts in Music and Management Sciences, which is basically.
Okay. All right, so yeah. you really, really invested in this music thing, huh?
Completely, 100%.
Okay. Well, you spoke about your production credits. I've seen some of them. They're quite impressive. Why don't you give us a rundown of who you've produced for?
Right. Okay. So locally, I've worked with people like Eric Wainaina.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of a legend around these parts.
Mm-hmm.
You have people like Saudi Soul who are really doing their thing, putting Kenya on the map right now.
Yeah.
Work with people like Vanessa Mdee from Tanzania, Shah as well from Tanzania. Done some stuff with AY as well from Tanzania. Maurice Kiria from Uganda. People like Neymar from Mozambique. You know, so it's really all over the place. I mean, the Kenyan front, I mean, most of my production credits are in Kenya, you know, so you have people like Modoni, the drama queen.
Mm-hmm.
You have people like Fena. You have people like Tayo Trippa. So I produced his EP, which he put out after Camp Mula broke up. I produced Miss Karun's album after Camp Mula broke up. So, yeah, I mean, I've been busy.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's dope. Oh, wait. I'm trying to remember. I remember Tayo released an EP, but it was a very experimental EP. I'm failing to place the name. Just after, when he had just changed his name. Exactly, when he had just changed his name to 3Africa MC.
Exactly.
So that was you?
That was me, alongside this other producer called Jazz Odong.
Okay. But, wow.
Yeah,
all
right. that was me, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, wow. Fun fact.
Yeah. Now you know. If you don't know, now you know.
Okay. You mentioned you're now signed to Taurus Music. From my experience, Taurus are good label, but a few artists that were on Taurus before complained that their model was always to push artists towards the poppy songs, towards getting ringback tones, because that was where they made their money.
Right.
In terms of that, what direction are they pushing your music in, if they're pushing it at all?
You know, the fantastic thing with, I don't know, and you know, I always say a lot of music is very relationship-based, you mm-hmm. know? Whether you're doing collaborations or you're producing for somebody, if like the chemistry is off, you know, regardless of how cool both parties are, you know, it's mm-hmm. not going to work out, you know. And I think the good thing we have is we have that chemistry. So okay. from the get-go, you know, they were just like, you know, we like your sound. We like what you're doing. We don't want you to change any of that. Keep making what you're making, you know. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's great, because for an artist, you know, that's the dream. You make the music that you want to make. So no one's really trying to put me in a particular box and tell me to be a particular kind of artist or try and sell me in a particular kind of way. I think that they'll do in their own, you know, and they'll figure that part out. My job is to make music and to make it well, and they completely respect that process.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of the movement in East Africa, how would you describe in general, the bongo flavor and the urban music scene, and then more specifically the hip hop scene? What's the growth and development been like in the last year or so?
I mean, you've been seeing, I mean, back in the day, bongo was quite big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bongo was quite big. There was this cycle where, you know, you had people like Mr. Blue and all of, especially the Tanzanian artists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really big in Kenya, and then that died down for a bit. You know how these cycles go.
Yeah.
And then hip hop, you know, was really on the come up as well. So you had, you know, like people cats like Jim Watt and just like all of the older Ogopa, the Genge guys, you know. So
yeah.
the hip hop scene was really starting to grow, and then at some point it took like a bit of a dip.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's fantastic to see, because it's everywhere, you know. You can't ignore it. Even in the R&B people or the more African people, you see them including rappers, you know. You see people including rappers in Chakacha songs, you know. You have people like King Kaka that I did the song Give It To Me with.
Mm-hmm.
So like he's rapping on like people like Sudi Boy's songs, you know. And that Sudi Boy makes very coastal Tarab music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like they're fusing it and it's working. And then you have like people that are going straight hip hop, you know. You have people like Calligraph Jones, who's you know, really making dope waves. And as well as the more mainstream hip hop. So you have like the Gaboos and the Freshers and, you know, the Christophs, those guys really, really creating heavy waves as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like if in the last year alone, I don't think we've seen this kind of growth in our industry, you know, ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's very impressive. One thing that has been evident to me from the continental scale is where, in terms of the continent, outside of Camp Mula, it really felt that there wasn't anyone else from Kenya pushing hip-hop beyond your borders.
Right.
From your point of view, does that ring true? And who do you feel are the artists that are doing some stuff outside of Kenya for the movement?
You know, I think for at a certain time that was a bit true. I mean, and that's the thing. A lot of the problem was because, you know, like we have this genre, this hip hop genre that we call genge, yeah, mm-hmm. and it's very influenced by Nairobi and the Nairobi scene and the Nairobi street and all of that, you know. So genge is largely spoken in sheng. Sheng is an adaptation of Swahili and English and mixed into one, right? So this is a language that not even like Tanzanians understand that well, you know. It's largely Kenyan. Mm-hmm. So because a lot of our content is either in Swahili or in Sheng, what ends up happening is that it alienates the rest of the continent, right, from it. Because, I mean, people in West Africa are not speaking Swahili. People in Southern Africa are not speaking Swahili. It's just a small part of East Africa that speaks Swahili, you know. And that kind of alienates it. So when Chambula came on the scene, these kids were fresh and they were speaking in English in the kind of way that you would speak to your friends and the kind of music that you would listen to from wherever you're from, you know. And that was like, whoa, this is cool, you know. And yeah, they were making good music, but like they were the only ones really cutting across the language barrier, you know, through making music in English, you know. And it was really fresh to see that. And for me, that's the reason I think that they really stood out as the only people, like as African artists that were making that kind of thing, you know, because you had huge artists here. You had people like Jua Kali that had been getting, you know, doing really well and landed like really huge deals with, you know, people like Samsung and whatnot. And, you know, but like across, once you cross the country, you want to cross the borders, then people don't really know much about him, you know. So I think that was the reason for that. And it's, yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, right now you have people like Calligraph, because he raps a lot in English. He also does it in Swahili, but he raps a lot in English. It has a great, value for him in the continent, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would agree, but I'd slightly disagree.
Why is that?
I think for the most part, Kamula were a unique case because Kamula were a pop group before hip hop went pop. If we're being very honest, Kamula, the way they marketed themselves, the music they chose, the way they presented themselves, they were a very teen friendly pop group, and that worked very well for them. That was an excellent brand move on their part. And because of that, they were able to cross over. But in terms of the language barrier being an issue, I mean, if we look at what's going on with, let's say, for example, Diamond Platnumz. Diamond Platnumz is in Swahili, but he's continental now. If you go to Nigeria, there's Olamide, even Davido to an extent. They are very local, but they have an international appeal because they are using pop. And I think that's the difference, is if you are pop, you are cross-continental no matter what language you speak in. But in terms of hip-hop, we're yet to see a true hip-hop act go continental so far. Outside of you guys like Ice Prince are doing it, but Ice Prince is now very pop. Like, he makes a lot of pop music. AKA is shifting to pop music. Casper Nyovest is still very new in the game, but he's mixing English and Setswana. But true. For the most part, I think what makes people have cross-border appeal is how pop you are. Because at the end of the day, popular music means that you appeal to a larger segment of the audience.
Correct.
So you'll always have guys like me that'll listen to a Calligraph Jones, no matter what language he speaks in, because we can appreciate... Not even, I don't have to understand what he's saying, but I can pick up on the flow, I can pick up on the inflection, I can pick up on the alliteration.
Yeah, you know what I mean? but that won't be pop, you know. And not to say that you're completely right, you know. There are other factors, right? But if you're listening to Calligraph Jones and you buy his album, and there's not a single word in that album that you understand, you like the beats, you like the flow, you know, it's fresh, but that's not something that a lot of people will be able to do. You know, like you said, it has to appeal to a big group of people. That's what makes it popular, right? Mm-hmm. So if the way to appeal to a big group of people is to, and I don't know, you mentioned somebody like Diamond, who is who's making that. And I think Diamond's strategy is a little bit different. You know, Diamond's strategy is, Diamond is largely the artist that, you know, you would dance to, you know, whereas you find like other hip hop artists like AKA, you would want to rap along to, you know. And I don't know if I'm getting it wrong, but that's the way I see it from my perspective.
Yeah, I definitely think there's an appeal to making music that has a good beat and a good melody, where even if I don't understand what you're saying, I want to dance to it.
Yeah,
at the end of the day, no matter which country you go to in Africa, Africans love to dance. You know what
exactly.
I mean? No matter what you're saying, if you can make them dance, you're good. You're golden. Mm-hmm. Which is why I was drawn to your music, because it's very, it straddles that line between pop and hip hop and bongo, right, and even dancehall, which is also helps me transition into the point. Is I did a list about some of the best songs that I've come across in Kenya, and I was working with a radio DJ called Miss Ruby. She's basically been introducing me to the scene and saying, okay, now these are the guys that you should check out. These guys doing their thing. So I went through the long list she sent me, and I was like, okay, these are the songs that I'm feeling, and I listed them down. But one of the songs I listed was Doctor. And a lot of people were like, but this isn't hip-hop. I was like, but let's break it down. Hip-hop isn't a style of music, it's a culture. And within that, you've got your 16-bar verses, your 8-bar hooks, and your bridges, which is universal across all forms of hip-hop. You've got a guy who is singing and rapping. That is hip hop. There's other songs like Creeper. Creeper is another example where you sing and then you do a full verse and rap, then you go back to singing.
Exactly.
That's hip hop.
Yeah.
So, from you, in your point of view, what would you say? Would you say you do hip hop or you're a pop artist?
You know, and I get this question quite a bit because my music over the years has been really quite all over the place. So I mean, I've dabbled in funk, I've dabbled in, you know, electro, I've dabbled in, you know, like the hard hip hop tracks, I've dabbled in R&B, I've dabbled in dancehall, you know. And the thing is, for me, let me put it like this. I am an evolving artist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And with each stage of my evolution, my music evolves with me, you know. There's different things that are influencing me along the way, you know. To make it explicitly clear, hip hop is my first love, you know. Mm-hmm. That is where everything is, that is the root of everything, you know. But having lived in South Africa, you know, then I was exposed to a lot of Mzanzi stuff, you know. And in UG, I was exposed to a lot of dancehall stuff, because dancehall is really big in UG, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in the UK, there was a lot of house and experimental things that, you know, just played their role as well, you know. So my genre is Kagwe, you know. It's just Kagwe, you know. It's constantly evolving. It's constantly changing, and I think the best artists are able to do that. You know, you look at people like Beyonce, for example. You know, Beyonce has been on ballads. Beyonce has been on like hard hip hop tracks. You know, Beyonce has been on tracks that you don't even understand what type of genre is this. You know, you can see that, you can hear that she's singing, but like, if you were to put this in a particular box, what is that box, you know? And that's the thing. So for me, it's really, I am influenced by hip hop. I do make hip hop, but I'm not necessarily a hip hop artist, to answer your question in short.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you just touched on you being such a well-traveled man, humble brag. Why don't you break us up? What were you doing in South Africa, Uganda, and the UK?
So, I mean, growing up, my mom had a job that just kept allowing her to just move to different cities, or rather, forced her to move to different cities for work. So we always went along with her, you know. So we'd start school and then we'd stop and then we moved to a different city and so on and so forth. And yeah, so that's how we ended up in SA and in UG. But in the UK, that's where I went to do my university.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I got there. Yeah.
All right. And how does your mom feel about her son deciding to be an artist?
You know, she really supports it, you know. My entire family does, and it's great. Because a lot of people, especially when I came back, and people ask me, "Oh, so you finished uni, what did you study?" And I'm like, "Music." And they're like, "Oh my God. Oh my, what kind of African parents are those, you know?" Like, do they know that you're doing music, or you just lied to them, you know? So it's fantastic. They've really supported me 100%. My mom doesn't come to my shows anymore, but
why not?
Because you know the shows are she's not the demographic. Let's just put it like that. It gets a little bit sticky up in the shows, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
But she shares my music, you know. She'll share my interviews and the articles and things like that. So like she still supports it. Yeah.
Okay. So are you now at a point where music is helping you pay the bills, and the industry in Kenya is developed enough for you to live solely off making music?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, the thing is with like with all entrepreneurship and business, you have to be smart and strategic about it, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to see where the revenue streams are, and you have to be able to see what's the best way to really milk these revenue streams, you know. What is the most consistent form of income in music, and what are the more long-term ones, and what are the bigger payouts, and what are the smaller payouts, and structure your life around those things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, being independent for about 4 years, you know, that taught me all of those things. I was the person that was, you know, setting up these contracts. I was the person that was going to fight with government offices and like the collecting societies about like, why haven't I been paid, you know? And all of these things, they teach you just like good governance of business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's I think that's one thing that people make the mistake of. And I think it's worldwide, you know. You think, okay, once you put out a song, you get the moolah, you spend it, you know, now you're living great, everything as well. But like, wealth is something you need to learn. You know, wealth is not something that you get. You know, wealth is something that you learn. The people that are wealthy, the reason they are wealthy is because they know how to remain wealthy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about managing those things very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just touched on an interesting point. So in Kenya, are artists receiving payouts for their performance rights and for their publishing?
I mean, to be honest, it's a bit of a mess right now. There's a lot of there's a lack of clarity in a lot of this with our collecting society, the major one. But like, you'll find that a lot of people are making good money from coloring back tones.
Mm-hmm.
And from just digital downloads as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that, if, like I said, if you're clever about it, there's and you'll be surprised by the people that are making the like crazy amounts of money, you know. It's not the people that you're seeing on the MTVs and on the Traces. It's like the really, really local guys, you know, the grassroots music. That mm-hmm. those are the guys that are making the big payouts because they've mm-hmm. understood the system, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So essentially, if you aren't forming these deals with the IMOs for the callback tunes, you aren't getting paid by the collection societies and the publishing societies that should be looking after the artists.
Yeah, you know, a lot of them work independently from each other. Yeah, they work independently from each other. So you don't necessarily get like your CRBs from the collecting society and vice versa, you know. So yeah, they work very independently.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's one of the very troubling things about Africans. So many countries, artists just aren't getting those payouts. Even like from radio spins, they're not getting their needle time royalties.
Exactly.
So it's a serious problem.
serious problem.
Yeah, you find, the thing is, I'm glad, especially right now in Kenya, we've completely migrated to digital, you know? Mm-hmm. So you as an artist can actually track how many times your song is being played on the radio. I mean, you can, yeah, you know, there's softwares for that now that you can do that, you know? So if you have the initiative to do it, then you can just call people out, you know, and tell them, no, like, bro, this is not, that's not true. You know, this is how much I'm owed because I've checked and I've been keeping track and this is what it is. So I think the truth is no one is out here to be your friend, you know, so you have to look out for yourself. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very, very interesting. I actually would be interested to find out who's doing that. So we'll have a discussion after the interview about that.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty much, we have a very informative discussion. I think we've given artists, rather the listeners, a small insight into who you are as an artist. But those of you who are listening to this for the first time, what songs would you suggest they listen to first to get an insight into who you are?
Well, I mean, I think it's really interesting to see the progression. So I'll tell you to go and listen to the Oleku cover that I did for Ice Prince and Brymo, where I reproduced the beat and used the chorus but had my own bars in there. And then, you know, move on to stuff like Biggest Fan, you know, which is a bit more housey, a bit more light, you know. And then you move to stuff like Creeper, which is much heavier, and that's one of my most emotional songs, you know. So then the more of the current stuff, Give It To Me, and of course Doctor, the brand new one.
Okay. Was Creeper based on a personal experience?
It was based on a personal experience. It was some trifling little.
Whoa. Ish, I can see, okay, the wounds are still fresh. The wounds are still fresh. Yo, see? We catch feelings too, ladies. We catch feelings too. You see?
Yeah, man. It's real. Happened, man? Yeah. Real. But you know, like, I'm, because like I made a great song out of it. So like I just thank her every day, you know. Shout out to her.
No. While name calling her during interviews. Okay, man. Much appreciated. So why don't you just plug your social media, plug your website if you have any, so the listeners can know where to find you.
For sure. It's been real. My name is Kago Mungai. You can follow me on everything at Kago Mungai. That's Snapchat at Kago Mungai, even though Instagram is now copied Snapchat. Instagram at Kago Mungai. Facebook at Kago Mungai, Twitter at Kago Mungai, YouTube at Kago Mungai, KAGWEMUNGAI.
Hi,
man. Get it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you much for having me.
My pleasure.
I used to play guy boss African hip hop blog Hande.
Yes, y'all. That was my interview with Kago Mungai. And just like that, we've now wrapped up another episode of the African Hip Hop Blog Podcast, where we bring you the best content from across the continent. And I really appreciate you guys tuning in. I appreciate you guys sacrificing your data bundle, sacrificing your time. But I just need you guys to do one more thing for me, please. Please make sure you follow the African Hip Hop Blog on Twitter at AfricanHHB. Please make sure you like us on Facebook, the African Hip Hop Blog. Follow our Viber public chat, African Hip Hop Blog. Subscribe to our YouTube page, African Hip Hop Blog as well. And please, leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. If you enjoy the podcast, hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up in the iTunes comment section. Let us know what you think so we can improve. And we need those comments to help improve our SEO as well. So guys, please, that's all I'm asking for. And don't forget to follow me too. You know, I matter too. That's me, Phil Chard, on Twitter. I'm very, very, very easy to find. And on that note, we're out. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll catch you next week. Aha! Yeah.
Go! Jakpata brother, mwenye kuwo Obi lesu insule bumo Akwa lakpaji insule bumo Oh, 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 oh Jakpata brother, mwenye kuwo Obi lesu insule bumo Akwa lakpaji insule bumo Ose ele ya nyomo jache de hallelujah Anto nyame nyom dano no de oye buda Mele bweme num na mbokana mami bula Hola hola Hene de muye judas Ebe Breda Ebe Fonye Fonye Aleke Indang gemo konta mo gbese Manje Now what me tell it? Obi Anton Jum was all anala wire bona. And from on bunche, ebe huna koko ni tuma. No be long, make you get a little retrospective. Who knew their cries? Go get their Lazarus resurrected. No disrespecting, I'm getting myself for a second. That shock, the unsuspecting kid sets a record.
Oye men, zanji avine hajo no. Kache, bomo bonge, bomo chou.
Jakpata brother, mwenye kuwo Obi lesu insule bumo Akwa lakpaji insule bumo Oh, 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 oh Jakpata brother, mwenye kuwo Obi lesu insule bumo Akwa lakpaji insule bumo
We need to come right our wrongs on the sheets just to prove how right we are wrong. So you can probably just recite in songs. When we are gone each day, we are trying to right our wrongs. But what if I had a right to wrong and our rights are wrong? Does it make you right? Cause you think my rights is wrong. Do we even have a right at all? Why you have to judge another for?
Huh? Ina doto Okpa bali ha Manya ba ina pompo Amada doji nada Oe ha oji nada Afrika susula Did you get it? Okpa nyada ha Kwa ina doto Infe non in country No ma bo ba yile dondo Hebo viva dimon Awo no ba no nyimpo Ola beni avo Laya ni lolo Oh Jakpata brother mwenye kuwo Obi lesu insule bumo Akwa lakpaji insule bumo Oh, 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 oh Jakpata brother mwenye kuwo Obi lesu insule bumo Akwa lakpaji insule bumo Oh, oh, oh